So finding an enjoyable and meaningful life is really contingent upon knowing where to look. And God is the one who is needed for the timing of things that we had looked at in the last time we were together, the listing of the time to do this, the time to do that, and that he's the one who makes sense of these things. You see, without God at the center of life, none of this is profitable. We see it in verse 9. What gain has the worker from his toil? And then we see, without God at the center of life, all of life is a task. I have seen the business, verse 10, I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. And then he's always sovereign over everything. Look at verse 11. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So man will never know everything God is doing, but the only chance of living life in a meaningful way is by having that eternity in his heart. In other words, we've got to be right with him. And we may carefully observe that as we look at verses 12 and 14, it begins with the words, I know. The Hebrew word means to know something in the sense of having this acquired knowledge. This type of knowledge is based on having seen and observed and experienced. And so this text is a breath of fresh air, for it lets us know that meaning and fulfillment are possible. And the key to an enjoyable life is knowing that it's all found in our relationship with God. And so what Solomon knew about life, there's nothing better than for a person to rejoice. Look at verse 12 with me. I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Therefore, being excited and joyful about life is not only a wonderful discovery, it's the testimony, the biblical testimony. The word better is a Hebrew word that means to be good in the sense of having a good and pleasant smell. There's nothing that looks better or smells better than one who enjoys life. People are drawn to one who enjoys life. And there's nothing better than for a person to do good. That word good is the same word translated better. The word refers to doing things that have a good and pleasant smell to them. The implications of this verse are profound. First of all, the potential to do good is impossible without God. Paul had said this, there is none who does good, there is not even one, in Romans 3, verse 12. So without Christ in our life, one does not have the possibility of doing things that God would classify as good. And there's nothing better than for a person to experience many beautiful things in life, but this will not and cannot happen in the big picture of one's lifetime without a proper relationship with God. So there's nothing better than for a man or woman to invest your life in doing good things. You look back on your lifetime and say, you know, I've lived a good life. I had a life God could classify as good. There's nothing better than that. But this life will not happen apart from Christ. And everything or everyone can enjoy a life that's received a gift from God. Look at that, verse 13. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. We get a good glimpse of to what it really takes to be able to enjoy life. One needs enough food and drink, and one needs to see that his work prospers and means something. And so the determining factor of one who gets to enjoy like this is God. The decisive factor is all of this is in the sovereignty of God. So if you're the one who has plenty to eat and drink, and you're the one who enjoys his work and the fruit of it, you're the one who's received that gift from God. Typically speaking, the way to having God grant the enjoyable life is to fear him, keep his commandments. But Solomon knew these things about God. Look at verses 14 and 15. I perceived that whatever God does endure forever, nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that the people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. You see, God's work is permanent. Solomon knew everything God does is something that stands forever. If we link into something God is doing, it's going to stand. If your life, your business, your ministry is of God, there'll be a permanence to it. Everything man does and is in and of himself is transitory. Everything God does is eternal. And when a transitory man happens to link into the eternal plan of God, then there's a permanence to it. God's work is also perfect. There's nothing one will ever need to add or to subtract from the perfect work of God. In God's work, nothing is missing or lacking. It's true of God. It's true of his work. And then God's work is purposeful. There's a purpose for everything God sovereignly allows in life. And that is to bring a person to a place where he will fear him. God keeps doing and demonstrating the same kind of things he has done before in order to bring a man to the point where he will fear him. And in a practical sense, God is surfacing the same kind of things over and over again until we finally get to the place where we fear him and desire to do his will. So a person may think he or she has really gotten away with something and fooled everyone, but he hasn't. God will search it out. So why does Solomon bring that up? Because fearing God and dealing with things before God is a key to a meaningful, enjoyable life. And we need to remember that.